Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message. Praise be to God Almighty, everyone, this morning. Thank God for everything that has gone forth to this point. I tell you, it's just been wonderful. It's just been mighty. And I thank God. How can we really say thank you? We can praise him with our lips, and we can lift him up with our hands and praise and instruments. But I'm going to tell you today, I was like, thank you, Lord, for this. The way you can truly thank him is by how you live. The way you can truly say thank you, Lord, is about how you live. Live like you're appreciative. Live like you say, Lord, I thank you. Live like I appreciate you. Where I'm coming from today, I'm just going to walk through scripture. I'm going to, some of us may know this passage of scripture. I'm coming from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. And I just want to lay out a few points and talk to the audience on this morning, talk to the people of God. I will be dealing with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then I will go through verses 9 through 21. I had an old preacher used to tell me, say, don't get down the road on me. Just stay right with me, because you may not jump and shout today. Just stay with me, because I just want to walk you through this today. And here we have the man of God talking to the people of God. And I'll read Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we in Christendom have probably heard this time and time again, but when I heard that song, thank you, Lord, it could have been me. How can I really say thank you? By living a life. And if I could use a title this morning, it would be The Lifestyle of the Spirit-Filled. The Lifestyle of the Spirit-Filled. There used to be a show ways back called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And when you looked at that show, man, they had some old luxury houses, luxury homes. And when you looked at them, you say, that's what it looks like to be rich and famous. That's what it looks like as the picture they painted. But when we look at Romans chapter 12, that's what it looks like to be spirit-filled. And so my question to you today, just like when we looked at that show, Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous, and we would automatically denote by the wealth and everything that they had that they are rich and famous. When someone looks at our lifestyle, will they say, "Woo, that's what it's like to be spirit-filled"? And I'm going to ask you the question, if they had a show that said the lifestyle of the spirit-filled, would you be on that show?
Would you? Would I be on that show if it was a show called The Lifestyle of the Spirit Filled? Because that's how we should live in order to be a living sacrifice. And here's a question. Are our actions and our reactions in line with how Jesus would act, especially with the household of faith? When we talk about our lifestyle, when we interact and when we deal with people, are our actions and reactions, no matter what they do, what they say, how they act, are our actions and reactions in line with the household of faith as Jesus would act? A lot of times, you know, I've been guilty of saying this. When I grow up, I want to be just like you. You see somebody, you want to be like them. You say, oh, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. If somebody's looking at somebody for the spirit-filled life, when they look at you, they say, boy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I want to be like you so I can be on that show, The Lifestyle of the Spirit Filled. I want to be like you because you exemplify those things that are outlined in Romans chapter 12. And I heard this week, which made a lot of sense, and it got me thinking, because a lot of us don't get beyond a decision-making point. Here's what I heard. It said that there are many decision makers, but not a lot of disciples. And what that means is you got a lot of people who decide I'm going to get saved, and they get saved, but they stay right there. They don't move to being a disciple. So we have a lot of people that have made a decision to be saved, and that's all they want to do is be saved, but not many disciples. Let me break it down to everybody that's listening. We got a lot of people that just happen to be on the team. They want to be on. They on the team. They ain't gonna do nothing else now. But they own the team. But are they gonna be on the show, The Lifestyle of the Spirit Filled? No, they just on the team. I'm gonna make it even plain for my people who are out there probably in Greek life. Y'all would understand this if I said it. You know how sometimes you had people that pledged and got online. We put them online, you know, because we knew, okay, they got a high GPA. All they're going to do is be on the team. They just want to wear a shirt. They just want the Greek letters. They ain't going to come to no, they ain't going to come to no service, service program. They ain't going to do no fundraising. They ain't going to do nothing, but they're going to wear that shirt. And so sometimes we just say, well, as long as they got a good GPA, they help us stay on campus. And so we let them be T-shirt, because they happy to be on the team. That's where we are with some people in the household of faith. And it used to really get me down. I used to get frustrated, because especially in motivational speaking and teaching, I used to get so upset when I teach stuff and say stuff and people just, yeah, but their life wouldn't change. But what I realized, that living a lifestyle is not easy, and it requires a sacrifice. And that's why most people don't want to move from a decision to a disciple, because it takes sacrifice that some of us will not make. And that's why a lot of us will never be on the show, The Lifestyle of the Spirit Filled. So the question to you today is, am I living a life, a living sacrifice, and I'm thankful for what God has done? When we look at verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here we have to understand that in the Old Testament, they took goats and bulls and lambs, and they were slaughtered for a sacrifice in the temple. Well, because of what Christ has done for us, we no longer have to do that. Our acceptable worship, our acceptable thanksgiving for what Christ has done, is to be under the control of the Spirit, to completely submit ourselves to God, to walk around this earth as a living sacrifice. Those sacrifices were put on the altar. They were killed. They were slaughtered. But our sacrifice should be a life of living, that when people see, oh my goodness, we are living for Him. This is our highest form of service. This is what I'm talking about. For if we live for Him by letting Him live in us, that's what we got to do. We got to live for Him by letting Him live in us. And I know y'all say, well, where is that in the scripture? Y'all know I'm going to show it to you. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I. Oh, here it is, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live what? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how I live. So now, For me to be a living sacrifice, showing my appreciation, that means I have to totally 100% submit myself to Christ and do whatever he tells me to do. That's how you say thank you. Oh, the lifestyle of the spirit filled. Okay. And so now if we look at, go back to Romans 7, it said, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed. Here's the thing. Because I'm spirit filled and I want to be pleasing to God, I can no longer live by the standards of the world. I can no longer live by the belief values of this world, how they do things. I know we got to go shopping and we got to do this. I'm talking about their system of beliefs and their values. We have to be transformed. See, a lot of us got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, but we want to live like the world. We got Jesus on the inside of us, but we won't let him permeate our entire body because we want to be accepted. We want to be with the in crowd. Forget that. I'm with Christ. Don't bet greater in crowd to be. I'm going to live for him because for God I live, for God I'll die. So in verse 2, it says, don't live like the world. Don't conform to those things. Don't conform. Be transformed by the inside out. Let what's on the inside of you come out so that people can see, oh, when I grow up, I want to be like Deacon Lewis. When I grow up, I want to be like Evangelist Rowe. When I grow up, oh my goodness, I want to be like that, because they live in the spirit-filled life. What does that mean? You allow the Holy Spirit to change your thinking. See, that's why most people don't. We got some decision makers, but not in the disciples. Because wait a minute, I got to give up the control of my life. Oh no, I don't want to do that. I want to be in control. They want to play God, but God is saying, be consistent in your Bible study, in your meditation of scripture. Why? So you can be. What is it? That good and acceptable, and may prove what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? You want to have a lifestyle that God approves of. That's why you be a living sacrifice. You want to have the lifestyle that God approves of. So now, what does this lifestyle look like? So now you know we got to be totally submitted, got to yield to the Holy Spirit, can't conform to this world. So now, when they look at me and they say, Pastor Edwards, you want to be on the show, Lifestyle of the Spirit Field? I say, yes. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing that's out there. Fruit of the Spirit is love. On love hangs everything. So now when we understand Galatians 5 and 22, come back to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. What does it say? This is the lifestyle of the spirit field. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Oh, my goodness. What this is saying, I'm going to break the King James English down to you today, because we're going to be on that show together. Love is the supreme value. Love got to dictate all. What this type of love says, that I'm going to be concerned about the needs of others. I'm going to be concerned about the needs of others, and I'm going to do whatever needs to be done to help them meet their needs. This is that pure, sincere love. Is not self-centered at all. It's all about the other person. That's the type of love. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice, showing love at all times, not centered on yourself. You genuinely concerned about other people. Oh, my goodness. Ah, hallelujah. And then it says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Do good. Be good. Be nice. Just be good. I know it's hard sometimes, but oh, when we get down to this, it says, verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Oh, what does that mean? In the body of Christ, if I'm living a spirit-filled life, I'm going to love my Christian brother and sister like they are my biological brother and sister. That's deep there. I'm going to have love to them, not because of I just got a personal attraction to them. I like them, how they look. They desire. They got something I need. No. This type of love, we need to be devoted and care for one another. This is what it's meant by when it says, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you love. A lot of times we can't even love one another. Now, I know we have some disagreements. Me and my brothers, my biological brothers, we used to fight. But at the end of the day, oh, you can't say nothing about my brother now. No, you can't say nothing about my family. And right now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all can't say nothing about the leaders at True Holiness. Y'all can't say nothing about the members of True Holiness. Them there is fighting words. Because we love one another. This kind of love, this type of love doesn't show partiality. Doesn't give preference. It treats the believers like they're first. Oh, I love it. This is the lifestyle. This is lifestyle. And when I look at it, and then we go down to verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Look at this. This means we don't lack in diligence. We're diligent about everything. We don't lag behind. We put our hands to the plow. Fervent in spirit. When I looked at this thing, I was like, oh my goodness, this some spirit. And I look back, you know, and when I was in high school, I was voted most school spirited. When I was a senior, one of them senior superlative things, I thought I had some spirit. But when I look at this from the spirit-filled life, it says in the Greek, it means to boil in spirit, having enough heat to produce adequate energy, but not so much heat that it just lose control and burn up. Now that's some fervency. That's some fervency. You got that kind of heat? Y'all know y'all used to sing that song, I wish somebody here would catch on fire and burn with the Holy Ghost. Do you have enough heat when you get next to somebody, they're going to catch on fire? See, that's the kind of heat that we are talking about when you have the lifestyle of the spirit filled. Oh, come on. It's verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Oh, this here. Every morning, do you get up? Do you look up in the sky and say, Jesus, are you coming today? Do you look for Jesus every day, rejoicing in hope? Why? This is our hope that if one day he's going to crack the sky and he's going to say, come up hither. He's going to call us our ultimate, our redemption. That's what it says, rejoicing in hope. Every day we should be rejoicing. Oh, I love that praise and worship. We just need to be rejoicing because it could be. You know, I like that song, I'm Next. We used to play basketball in the park and we say, oh, who got next? You say, I'm next. But my blessing coming up, so I'm next. I'm looking for Jesus to crack the sky. So I say, I'm next. I'm going on up. We're looking for that hope, rejoicing in hope. Oh, come on. That's the lifestyle of the spirit filled. Oh, see, this is the one right here. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Y'all know, y'all, we can't be getting mad when we go through stuff now. We can't get upset and be crying, oh, Lord, why me? Why me? Why me? And see, when I looked at this, this is not the everyday strains of life. This here, patient in tribulation, is talking about when you're suffering for Jesus Christ. When you're suffering for Jesus Christ and you're going through, this is like being put in the press when you're squeezing grapes and olives. This is that type of pressure. And what does it say? You don't cry, woe is me. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You don't, what you say? This causes you to persevere. This is about being in, having strength to endure. We know we had that scripture that says, I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier. This is the lifestyle of the spirit filled. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, I love the children. Look at them coming on. How you doing? I'm away. He probably don't see me, but yes, Lord. Rejoicing in hope, looking for Jesus. Patient in tribulation, persevering, enduring. Don't cry, woe is me. Say, Lord, what is it that I must learn in this situation? Because somebody else looking at you, how they dealing with us at work, they going to see if you going to fold. We going through all this stuff at work. They treating us. They putting it down on us. Wait a minute. How the pastor going to react? Because if he, how the pastor going to react? Because how he go, we go. Amen. Amen. How we go, how he go, we going to go. If the pastor go that way, we got to go. He supposed to know the Lord. Somebody looking at you, your lifestyle. So how you going to go in the midst of trouble? He says you got to endure. And how do you endure? Oh, this is it right here. That next one in verse 12. Continuing instant in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does this mean? The lifestyle of the spirit field is that they are devoted to prayer. that's God looking at me. Am I devoted to prayer? Do I have my own private prayer time? I know we meet collectively in the group to pray, and it just gives us strength and it energizes us. But oh, do I have my private prayer time with God? That's what it looks like. Prayer time. Instant in prayer. That means total devotion, a lifestyle. It is not a duty. And this is where we have to get away from, oh, I got to get up and pray. Oh, I got to go to, oh no, prayer should be a lifestyle, something that you want to do. It should be like eating. Oh my goodness, what I'm going to talk about the Lord today, because what we got, you know how you go to the all-you-can-eat restaurants when it wasn't in COVID, and we go back and they have all that stuff out there, and some of, including myself, and they call me the little man. I ain't gonna say who called me that, but they called me the little man, and they said, boy, the little man can eat. I said, I don't know where it go, but the little man can eat. And so when you go to those all you can eat buffet and you see all that and you just eat, that's how we should be about prayer. What can I pray about today? Oh, I could pray about this. You know how you got this selection of vegetables, that selection of vegetables. Like, who can I pray for today? Oh, I could pray for him, I could pray for her, I could pray for this need, I could pray for that, and not put myself, oh, I said, who need prayer? Who do I need to intercede for? That's devotion to prayer. Hallelujah. Because when you pray for other people, God gonna move on your behalf. Who marriage need healing? Who needs help? That's devotion and prayer. That's the lifestyle.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to get on down. I know y'all. I'm telling y'all so y'all can stay with me. I'm going all the way down to verse 21. So don't get ahead. I'm going all the way to 21, but I think I'm moving pretty fast. All right. So if we go to 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Oh, distributing to the saints, given to hospitality. I'm gonna just talk, that's missions right there. So you know it's by missions work. We giving to people, we helping one another out. It's translated fellowship, communion, mutual sharing, a partnership. We ought to be known by how we help other people. I'm not saying help outside of your means. I'm not, unless God calls you to give sacrificial giving. Now, that's, but if God calls you to do that, then do that. But stay within your means and help other people. In the early church, that's what they did. Y'all know I love the book of Acts, because that's how the church is supposed to be, the early church. What did they do? They sold all their, I ain't telling y'all to go sell y'all houses and stuff. Now, don't get, I'm telling you, they sold all the possessions so they could have things in common. Basically, it was so that nobody in the body would be without anything. We ought to have that kind of care and concern for the body. And if you do something for somebody, don't talk about it. Just do it. Just do it. Just help them. My mama said, if you're going to do something for me and talk about it, don't do it for me at all. So just help folk out. That's what missions work is all about. And that's why I love Brother Johnny and the missions team. They out there doing that, distributing. Oh, hallelujah. That's a sign of living a spirit-filled life. Given to hospitality. This one's deep, because we invite people we know over for dinner. What about people we don't really know? When I really looked at this thing here, it talks about being able to pursue strangers in love, not just entertaining your friends and people you know, but entertaining those people you don't know. Now, I'm not saying just bring any and everybody into your house. I know the situation and times in which we live, but by the spirit of discernment, do you help those that you don't know? See, and I had to look at this, and it brought me back. And if I'm wrong, I know Evangelist Rowe can help me out and correct me on this. The early believers in the book of Acts, they opened their doors and homes to people. That was in biblical times, because traveling along the road was hard and dangerous, and it was expensive to live in the inns and stuff like that. So the early believers in the church opened up their homes. Well, it kind of brought back to my remembrance early on during the civil rights times and all that, when our people would go to church meetings, we couldn't stay in hotels. We couldn't stay in different places. And we definitely didn't want to travel at night. And so what they did was, I never experienced it, but I heard the old saints say, they stayed with other saints. The other saints took care of them. The other saints cooked dinner and provided for them. That was hospitality. That was a body of believers, but they helped. Are we helping people who need help?
Amen.
Hospitality, that's a sign that you're living the lifestyle of the spirit filled. That was 12. 13, hospitality. Let's look at 14. Now we're getting deep now. Now we get about ready to get deep. 14, bless them which persecute you. And I love how he come back again. Now look at this. He tell you, bless them that persecute you. Then he come back and say, bless and curse not. That's a hard thing now. That's a hard thing. That's why we got to go back to Galatians 2:20 and say, Lord, you got to live this thing out. Because for me to exemplify that type of love, oh, Lord, Jesus, you got to do it. Because we know some of us back in the day, and we hear some people saying, let me go put my religion down right now. I got to get some scraping going on. But no, let the Holy Spirit, he say, bless them when they persecute you. Oh, that's showing some growth right there. They're like, I just want to be a t-shirt wearer today. I'm just going to be a t-shirt wearer today because I'm about to, I'm going to be a t-shirt. He says, bless them which persecute and curse not. Oh, hallelujah. So you gotta let the Lord do that one. Then it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now think about this. This is regardless of what's going on in your life. You could be broke and need a new car. And somebody else, the Lord blessed them with a new car. You're supposed to jump up and down and shout like it was yours. Ooh, boy, there was silence in heaven for the space. We got to be glad for other people. When they get blessed, you got to rejoice with them. And guess what? We also have to be on the other end. No matter what our situation is, when they're going through hardships and sorrows, we got to be right there with them. And we have to be compassionate. We have to show that love, regardless of what's going on in our life. How many of you ever been going through something? And somebody come going through the exact same thing and looking for you to give them a word to help them through. Boy, yes, look at him. Yes. That's some stuff right there.
Yes.
God got a way of saying, now I'm going to see how strong you are. I'm going to see if you're going to really lean on me. You got to now minister to somebody that's going through what you're going through. Guess what? You ministering to yourself right then, because now you're putting it out in the atmosphere. That means if you telling them they got to do it, guess what? God say, now you got to do it too, because you Amen. Can't be a liar. Amen. Oh, look at God. That's the lifestyle of the spirit field. Oh, verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. I love King James put a lot of stuff in there, but you know what's in the meat of that right there? We can't be impartial. We can't have respect to person. Oh, can't treat people just because they got some political influence. They could pull some strings. They popular. They look good. They smell good. They wearing all these suits and stuff. And then somebody else come to us not listening. No, wait, we'll get back with you. No. Mm-mm. Lifestyle of the spirit field said we're going to treat everybody the same. We going to treat them just how we would want to be treated. We can't be a big I and a little you. We can't put ourselves on a pedestal just because God has opened up opportunities for us. We can't make ourselves and feel superior. Oh, look what God has done for me. You know, and putting ourselves all up. No, it's all about the body. We treat everybody the same. We can't let be influenced by money and power and all that. No. Uh-uh. I'll tell them in a heartbeat. No. I'm going to do what God says do regardless. All right. Verse 17. I'm about to bring it home. I only got a few more verses. I'm trying to move quickly. Is this good for somebody today on the first Sunday? This pastoral Sunday. It's the teaching. Now, I like this one. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things in honest in the sight of all men. Oh, y'all, come on now. I can't be the only one say, it got me this time. You just wait. I'm going to get them back. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir. Uh-huh. You just wait. Don't go to sleep. See, I'm going to get you back. See, but the Bible says, the spirit of your life says, recompense to no man. Don't try to get back at people. You know, we talking about eye for an eye. That was looking about evenness, you know, a punishment. But it was just a standard to enforce good behavior. But just because you did that to me, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to one-up you. No. I don't know, y'all say, man, you just taking all the joy out of something today. But no, it's wonderful. It's wonderful when you let the Lord work it out. It says provide things honest.
Yes.
Now, you see, because, and you say, well, I'm trying to do good. Hear this thing. I wrote this down because this really opened my eyes with verse 17. When it talks about provide things honest in the sight of all men. When I looked at this, I was like, oh my goodness. I don't do an eye for eye, tit for tat, quid pro quo. But it says, I provide things honest in the sight of all men. What does that mean? It says that I act right at all times in a proper way, an honest way, the right behavior at all times when everybody is looking, especially believers. That took me back to my mama. I love her. Because y'all know God gave me this example to make it plain. What does that really mean? I got to act right in front of people and around others, especially unbelievers. I don't know about y'all, but back in the day, we would go somewhere. And we with mama. And we get out the car. Mama said, now listen to me. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me good. Mm. Real good. Because when we get inside these people's house, when we go inside this house, you better act like you got some sense.
Mm.
Don't touch nothing.
Yes.
Don't act like I don't feed you. Eat all people right. Food. And don't you embarrass me.
Amen.
Because if you do.
Oh, Lord.
When we get home, you know what's coming.
Yes.
That is what God is saying right here in this verse when it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. God is saying when you get in the presence of other people, don't you act like you ain't got no God in you. Don't you embarrass me in front of other people. That's what God is saying in this verse. Don't you embarrass me. You got to do what's right, especially when you're in the presence of unbelievers. We can't be out there fighting and cussing and all this stuff in front of unbelievers because we're trying to win them. This verse, God is saying, act like you got some sense. Act like you got some God. Don't you act up because when I get you home. Oh, hallelujah. I'm almost done. That's what the Lord is saying in that verse 17. Don't embarrass me in front of company. Y'all know that's how mama said, don't embarrass me in front of company. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, everybody, you ain't gonna make everybody happy. Some people just gonna be ugly because they can be ugly. But when you can, do whatever it is in your power to keep the peace. Married men know what I'm talking about. I'm gonna try to keep the peace. You may not agree all the time, but hey, we gotta have peace in the valley, especially on a Sunday. On a football Sunday, gotta be peace in the valley. So you gotta follow peace with all men and holy. So whatever you can do in your power to keep the peace, you won't make everybody happy because they have to do something as well. It depends on their attitude. It depends on how they react because you can't control other people. As I always teach, control the controllables. And what can you control? Yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so now in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, I told y'all they get good. Treat your enemies nice. Don't worry about it. Let God handle it. That's what it's saying here. Let God handle it. He judges righteously. He judges fairly and real good. As we find out in the book of Revelation, when it comes to the end of Babylon, he get back real good. The righteous been crying out for a long time, but oh, when God show up, y'all know we say it all the time, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Just believe in it. Just treat them nice. God gonna work it out. He says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. So what does that require on my behalf? Verse 20. Mm-hmm. If your enemy hungry,
beat him.
Beat him. See, y'all, this is a lifestyle, but this thing, you gotta let Christ do this. It say, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. I'm gonna go old school on y'all. Give us on that red Kool-Aid or some of that Sunday tea, that diabetic sweet tea. That's what it's saying. Bring out your best. Do good to him. Feed him. Oh, don't give him some leftovers. Give him a porterhouse steak. Feed him. Lifestyle of the spirit filled. Why? For in doing so, ye shall heap coals of fire on his head. Y'all gotta understand this. When I studied this, this was in the Egyptian culture, when people have done something really wrong and they want to show that they're really, you know, they contrite, they shameful, they sorry, they guilty. What they would do is they would take a pan of hot coals and put it on their head and walk around to demonstrate their shame, a pan of hot coals. So what is this saying? When you treat them good and treat them nice, and so nice, it'll be like that. Meaning that, you ever had somebody just, I had this happen to me one time. We were always in a meeting. There was this guy, he always used to yell at people. And all the supervisors would just fall down in their seat and they wouldn't say anything. And he would come and he'd be like, la da 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 da. And I would say, well, could you repeat that again so I could understand it? And he be way up here, I be down here. Then he come down here, and slowly but surely, he come down. Because why? He started feeling shameful. He yelling like a fool and somebody talking to him. This is what this scripture is saying. They'll be so shameful because why you treat me like that? Why you I ain't even like your mama them. Why you? And they start feeling shame and embarrassed. And it's feeling like coals on the top of their head because you are doing what verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil.
Amen.
With good. That's what the word of God is saying today. So no matter what's going on in your life, when we understand Romans, that we got to submit and be a living sacrifice. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. Why? Because it is painful to go through some of these things. It's painful to love somebody that don't love you. It is painful to treat somebody nice and they done stole from you. It is painful to love somebody when they just done put all kind of slanderous stuff about on social media. It is painful, but God said, don't you worry about it. Mm-hmm. God says, just treat them right. Yeah. Live a lifestyle that's spirit-filled, because guess what? When I get back at them for getting on you, they gonna wish they had never done it.
Thank you, Lord.
They gonna wish they had never done it. So all God is requiring of us today in Romans chapter 12 is to live a lifestyle of the spirit filled. May God bless and keep y'all, is my prayer.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.